This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
A guy who has been smack in the middle of it is joining us right here on your home of America's team. Former columnist from the Dallas Morning News, New York Times bestseller, Brady versus Manning, and New York Daily News Hall of Fame voter Gary Myers back on the Sean and RJ Show, DFW Sports Station. Gary, everyone now knows you again in DFW thanks to the Jamal Adams stuff. Thanks for joining us. Can you just kind of take us through your reporting on this, starting with last week, and kind of catch us up with where you think we are now?
Well, first of all, you say everybody knows me again. I hope I never forgot.
I've been in New York for a while.
I was there for 8 years. I left in 1989. What happened was last Tuesday, I got a call from somebody I really trust that is pretty close to the situation, and they told me that the friction had escalated between Jamal Adams and the Jets, that he wants a new contract now. He's in the same situation that Zeke Elliott was in after 3 years, that he doesn't want to wait. What teams usually do with their first-round picks, they usually wait till after the fourth year and before the fifth-year option kicks in. So he wants a new deal now. He's supposed to make $3.5 million this year, including his roster bonus. And the Jets want to wait. They told him they want to get through the offseason, basically – you know, see what the situation is with the league, with the impact financially, and that he hasn't been taking part in the voluntary and virtual off-season program. And I think they want to see what happens with the mini camp if he shows up in training camp. They want to see his commitment to the team first. And as you can imagine, for a guy that wants a new contract right now, that hasn't set very well with him. So I have to admit that I was really, really surprised at the reaction that it got, because it's really just the next step in the process of a off-season contract stalemate. But maybe because there's really nothing else going on, people have really jumped on this, and both in New York and then obviously in Dallas, it's become a real talking point over the last week. So just to finish the story, so the person calls me on Tuesday and says, I'll call you back within 24 hours just to give you an update, and then you can go with it. So that actually took 48 hours, and then I confirmed it with somebody else and went with it. And it's been kind of taking on a life of its own ever since.
So, Gary, what type of Cowboy fan reaction, if we asked you to gauge it, has it been excitement? Has it been skepticism? I know that your tweet about a first-rounder and Michael Gallup all came back with absolutely not from Cowboy fans, which we'll get to in a second. But we'll take the temperature of Cowboy fans with this story. How has it been for you?
Well, it's red hot, I guess I would say that. I don't think anybody's against acquiring Jamal Adams. He has in 3 years become the best safety in the NFL. He's more of a box safety because he can play tight to the line of scrimmage and kind of a modified linebacker, I would say. But he's not bad in coverage. He's not a shutdown, if there's such a thing as a shutdown safety when he's covering a tight end or or a back coming down the field. You know, that's not his strength, but he's really he's really a great all-around player, and he's a terrific leader in the locker room. He plays with a lot of emotion. So, the Cowboys offered a one for him back at the trading deadline last year, and the Jets wanted a 1 and 2 twos. I would think that if the Jets knew they could have gotten CeeDee Lamb with that pick, they might have made that trade. Just as I think if the Cowboys knew they would get CeeDee Lamb, they might have thought twice about committing all that money to Amari Cooper. So I think the bottom line to this really, guys, is that there's no reason that the Cowboys wouldn't want him as a player. Now the question becomes, how much are you willing to give up to get him? And then what is it going to cost to sign him? There's no doubt he wants to be the highest paid safety in the league, which is now with his new contract, Eddie Jackson of the Bears, which I think is around $15 million a year. So it's really a big commitment for a safety. But the Cowboys can swing it if they get Dak signed to a long-term deal, which would lower that $31 million cap number and create the room that they would need to sign Adams.
Gary Myers from New York joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. We know that, you know, pressure on teams from fans, from media, can sometimes lead them to do things that they didn't necessarily want to do. Have the fan base turned against Jamal Adams for wanting more money, demanding a trade, stuff like that? Has that started to take place? Has the media turned against him?
I would think that if you were to do a poll of Jets fans, and actually, let me say this. The other day on Twitter, which has become a great way to take the temperature of fans, it's always not accurate because it seems like the ones who – I call it the cesspool of Twitter, because if you get yourself too wrapped up in that, it can really be depressing. But I asked Jet fans, should they sign him now? Should they trade him now? Or should they just work at their own pace? And I think I got, in a short period of time, like 600 votes, and it was amazing to me. It was almost split a third, a third, a third. Jet fans do not want to lose him as a player, but there is definitely a faction of them that look at him as a player during a very difficult period in most people's lives that is being greedy and that his timing is bad. But the ones that are supporting him do not want this to turn.
Sorry, Gary, you cut out there. You cut out there. Let me ask you this.
I'll move to another spot in my house.
It's all good. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
The first rounder and Michael Gallup tweet, was that something that you think the Jets would take, or that was just a hypothetical you threw out?
That was completely me.
Okay.
I think the Jets would take it. I was just trying to analyze the situation. What does the Jets need? A number one receiver. The Cowboys need a safety. The Jets would want to pick back. If things go according to plan. Now, people outside of New York do not have the same opinion of Michael Gallup as the Cowboy fans do. They're all of a sudden, they're making him out to be Jerry Rice,
right,
when his name gets mentioned. I think he was second or third in the league in drop passes last year. He's definitely an emerging player, but is he a one for the Cowboys at any point in the future? I think by midseason this year, he can be a three. Behind Cooper and Lamb. So do you trade your number three wide receiver and a first-round pick for the best safety in the league that would fill one of your greatest needs? I think that makes a lot of sense from both teams' standpoint. The Cowboys, if they play like we think they will this year, that pick could be in the mid to late 20s or maybe even, you know, in the 30s if they get into the Super Bowl. I guess, and, you know, Gallup's only under control for two more years. They could have to face a situation with him and the contract. I know that Cooper they can get out of after 2 years, but with minimal cap damage, but you would have paid him a lot of money for 2 years as well. So I thought that trade made a lot of sense. There's not one Cowboy fan, I don't think, that tweeted back at me that agreed with that. They thought it was much too much. But again, I think they're overvaluing Gallup somewhat.
So, Gary, all the counter reports, Gary Myers, New York Daily News, Jamal Adams of the Cowboys rumors, a lot of other columnists say, look, the Jets will listen to your call, but they're not making outgoing calls for this, and they don't want to actually deal them. Do you think if the Cowboys or someone else called with a first and a third that the Jets would deal Jamal Adams?
Well, I heard that's what the price is right now. And I do know that the Jets, you know, do want to sign him. I mean, why wouldn't they? He's their best player. But I also know that last Tuesday and Wednesday, they did mention in conversations with Adam's people about, well, if this, you know, continues along this path, that we're going to start shopping him. And, I mean, I know that conversation took place. So, you know, when would they start shopping him actively? I can't answer that, and I don't think they can answer that either, but trading him is definitely on their minds. I mean, it was on their mind last October that if the Cowboys had met their asking price, then I think they might have traded him last year, because you have to remember Joe Douglas didn't draft him. He's the new Jets general manager, so he doesn't have that loyalty to him that a general manager who drafted him might have. And he's trying to build the Jets, you know, responsibly, with responsible contracts and not going wild in free agency and building through the draft, because he learned it in the Ravens system under Ozzie Newsome. So I think the Jets would definitely trade him. I'm not sure they would trade him tomorrow, but I would think that if he doesn't show up for training camp, whenever that starts, that this takes it to a whole other level. And I would not be surprised. Let me say this. Despite everybody kind of trying to knock it down, I think I know a little bit more about this situation, some of the national writers who are chiming in. I would not be surprised if they find out he's not coming to training camp, if he's traded sometime in the middle of camp. Because I just don't think Joe Douglas is the kind of guy that's going to put up with this stuff.
Gary, what type of guy is he? You know, RJ and I, we kind of go old school, new school with our debates. If they're going to give up a 1 and a 3 and then pay him, we just wanted them to give the money to Byron Jones. You know, Byron Jones to us plays a more important position. Jamal Adams, you said he's so-so. I mean, maybe above average as, you know, as a pass defending safety in a passing league. Is the type of guy and leader he is make up for paying a safety this much and make up for paying a safety whose specialty is the run this much?
Well, Shane, I look at it this way. Everybody says, you know, the position of safety and running back has been devalued. Well, the Jets took him sixth, which wouldn't really indicate that the position has been devalued. The Cowboys took Zeke fourth and then just paid him a ton of money. So they don't think running back is devalued, obviously. Ronnie Lott made the Hall of Fame as a safety, not as a corner. There have been plenty of corners in this – I mean, safeties in this league – who have been game changers. And the way this guy plays the game, and with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of emotion, a lot of leadership on the sidelines in the locker room, I think he brings more to a team than necessarily what goes on Sunday. And I just think he's one. I'm not going to call him a generational player because that's overused, and he's not there yet. But he's really good. I mean, he's really good, and he makes impact on games. And every year, and I follow the Cowboys closely from New York, and every year it seems to me I'm always hearing stuff and reading things in the morning news or whatever. Boy, the Cowboys, they blew it by not trading for Earl Thomas, or you know, why won't they value safeties in the draft? That's really a weak spot of their defense. But then it comes to draft time and free agency time, and you say, well, the Cowboys don't value safeties. You know, why didn't they go out and get this guy or that guy? And then they wind up paying for it because they're getting substandard play at that position. So if they have an opportunity to give up say it's a 1 and a 3, and you're thinking you're going to have a really good season, and that one is at the end of the first round, and it turns out that, you know, maybe it's on the level of Taco Charlton, who obviously was a bust in Dallas, and then a third-round pick, you know, the end of the first round is really a crapshoot anyhow, and then you got to give them a guaranteed contract for 4 years. So, you know, an end of the first-round pick, to me, is certainly worth it, plus a 3, for a guy who was the 6th overall player picked in his draft, and he's only 24 years old, and he's already the best player in the league at his position. That's how I look at it.
Gary, is this all about the money for him? Like, would he stay in New York if he got paid? Is he just trying to force a trade out of there, maybe to come here, to come home? Is this all about money?
Oh, this is all about the money. Now, he wants to stay. He said that. And the Jets do want him to stay, but it's money. It's always, you know, George Young, the former general manager of the Giants, who passed away 20 years ago, but he's going into the Hall of Fame this summer. The one thing he always said in his first couple of years, and it always stuck with me, when they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. But in this case, there's no doubt it's about the money, and nobody's saying it's not about the money. If the Jets paid him, he does want to stay here. He likes it in New York. The fans love him, and his teammates love him because of the way he plays and the way he conducts himself. And the only issue that Jets have had with him, and it's really just since October when his name came up in the trade talks with the Cowboys, that's the only issue they've had with him now in 3 years, and it's only surfaced in the last six or so months, is strictly about his contract. He was insulted to the Jets, even took a phone call on him about his availability, and now it's strictly about the money. There's a very small percentage of players over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years who after the third year, first-round picks I'm talking about, who after the third year were given a new contract by their team. Aaron Donald had to hold out two summers before getting a contract before his fourth season, and he's probably the best defensive player in the league over the last 3 or 4 years. So this is strictly a money situation, a philosophical situation where he wants it now and the Jets want to wait. They're trying to establish some order in the locker room and saying, you know, the way we're going to handle our business is you got to have to wait until after your fourth year. And that's where it stands right now. And it's an unfinished story. And if a team is going to trade for him, the Cowboys make the most sense. He's from Dallas. He went to high school in Dallas. He'd love to play in Dallas, but I have heard the Ravens are also pretty interested. And, by the time this all gets said and done, there might be a bunch of teams lining up. I've heard, I haven't been able to confirm this part, that half the teams in the league in some way have told Joe Douglas that if they're going to trade him, they're interested.
Wow. Gary Myers bringing it strong right here on 105 Through the Fan. Gary, last thing, you can just say one team name when and if the season begins. Jamal Adams starts it on what team?
Wow, that's a great question. I still think he stays here, but if you're going to give me a second part of that question and say, if he's not here, where is he? Then clearly I'm going to say the Cowboys. How's that? I mean, I'm not trying to cop out on you here, but Joe Douglas right now doesn't have a track record on how to handle how he handles this, because this is really he was hired last June, so this is really his first go-around with something like this. And so we're still learning how he handles situations like this.
Gary, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Keep up the great reporting, and we thank you for the content that you're giving us on No Sports. Thank you.
No problem. Take care, guys. Have a great day, and stay safe in Dallas.
Thank you. Thank you. Troy wants you to unblock him on Twitter, at Tommy Sledge.
Thanks,
Sean and RJ.
Yeah.
He shanned me up, man. He got
there
me.
You go. He did.
I knew Troy was waiting on that. Son of a biscuit.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.